Praise the Lord. Let's close our eyes for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this worship service. We bless your name for bringing us together on the Lord's Day for rest, for refreshing, for revival, for spiritual impartation, for preparation for the week ahead of us. We're asking, O Lord, all you intend to lavish on us, to give us, to fulfill your plan and your purpose for bringing us together this day of worship in your presence. We pray, Lord, you'll fulfill everything in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray, Lord, that you'll keep us awake as you speak to us by your Spirit in the Scriptures in Jesus' name. Grant us all the strength we need so that this coming week and this coming month and the rest of the year will be lived to the glory of your name in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, God bless you. You can sit down. Once again, I welcome you to our worship service today. Coming together in deeper life on a Sunday like this, every Sunday actually, is a memorable time, a time never to be forgotten, that God himself does something in your life that will be unforgettable. And this day will not be an exception. I'll bless your life in Jesus' name. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. I read verse 5, and then verses 9 and 10. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that she may grow thereby. Growth begins after you are born. You're born again. You're born into the kingdom. You're born anew. You're born from heaven. Your growth can only begin after you are born into the kingdom. And you understand, there are many people that come to church, just like many people that go to other churches, and they hear the word, and they sing the songs, and they walk along and move along with the people of God, but they are not born again. They have not made a definite commitment unto the Lord. And they have not said, on this day, I forsake the past. I take Jesus as my personal Savior. And from now on, I'm going to live as a believer. You are born when you take that step. You might come for 10 years to the church. You might come for 20 years in the church. If you are not born again, you cannot grow. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that she may grow thereby. There's a desire in your heart if you are born again. That's why we find many believers, especially when you are born again and you come into the kingdom, you are running to the Bible study. You are running to the revival time, and any chance you have to hear the word of God, you want to use that opportunity and be open to the word of God because you are born again, you want to grow. There's a desire in your heart as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that she may grow thereby. The preacher, the pastor, the shepherd, the leader may have the desire to teach and desire to preach and desire to expound the word of God. He may do it from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, and he may do it every time faithfully and obediently, but except you have the desire to grow, you'll not desire the sincere milk of the word and the passion and the purpose and the perseverance of the preacher will mean nothing to you. I pray you'll benefit from the preaching of the word in Jesus' name. Look at verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Think about that. A single block does not make a house. A single stone does not make a house. A single believer does not make a house. You know the purpose of the Lord. You know the plan of the Lord. It is that you, as a stone, lively stone, for the grace of God brings life into you, and you become a lively stone. You are built together with others. There are some people, they are lone rangers. I believe in the Lord. I believe in the Bible. I can read the Bible for myself. I'm intelligent enough to read the Bible, to understand what it says, and then to follow through. And I have all these Bible helps, and I have all these commentaries, and over the internet, I can stay in my house, and I can be a good believer. Not really. The plan of the Lord is not that you'll be an internet Christian, television Christian, radio Christian, newspaper Christian, media Christian, and not show up in the church and be built together a spiritual house and priesthood so that you can offer your sacrifices, your praises, and your life to the Lord as you hear the word of God. Please understand that standing alone, reading alone, praying alone, worshiping alone, without the community of believers, doesn't make you fulfill what the Lord has appointed for you. He also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God until they pass through the hands of Jesus Christ. Number one, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the word. That's what makes us grow, as God understands growth. Not only that, we're built together a spiritual house, a spiritual temple, so that we don't think we can live to the fullness of the Christian life by ourselves, in isolation, without association with the body of Christ, the local church. Look at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth. You see that? He wants us to show something forth. You are born again. You are a child of God. You are redeemed. And you are now justified. It says you show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. Look at that. In time past were not a people. In time past, before you knew the Lord did not regard you as a person going to heaven. It's like that man that Jesus healed, and he touched his eyes, and he asked him to look up, and he looked up. And he said, what do you see? He said, I see men walking as trees. I know they are men because they are moving, but they look like trees. They are not complete. And we were not a people regarded by the Lord, complete in the Lord, and useful in the kingdom. We were not a people before we knew the Lord as a personal Savior. That's why it says, which in time passed were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Mercy for salvation. Mercy for a renewed life. Mercy for a change of life. And I pray that what God is expecting of us, as he describes in verse 9, will be fulfilled in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. Did the church say amen?
Amen.
Today we're looking at the message, the peculiar privileges of God's peculiar people. God's peculiar people have privileges, and their peculiar privileges only meant for the peculiar people of God. The peculiar privileges of God's peculiar people. Three things we're looking at. Number one, his peculiar provision for sons and saints in Christ. His peculiar provision, the provision of the Lord, the provision of the Savior, the provision of a faithful God for peculiar people in his kingdom. His peculiar provision for sons and saints in Christ. Point number two, the powerful picture of steadfast saints in Christ. Saints who are stable, saints who are solid, saints who are steadfast like a stone built into a spiritual temple. And that stone remains there in its position and is built into the spiritual temple. It's a saint, but it's steadfast. That's the picture the Lord is giving us as we look at those verses, verses 4 to 8. The powerful picture of steadfast saints in Christ. Point number 3, the practical priesthood. When he says we're royal priests or priesthood, what does that mean? A holy nation. What does that imply? And a peculiar people. What do we do as people who are the priesthood of the Lord, the priests of the Lord, the practical priesthood of shining saints in Christ? We shine for him. We live for him. And our light shines in a dark world because it calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The practical priesthood of shining saints in Christ. Number one, the peculiar provision for sons and saints in Christ. I'm coming to 1 Peter chapter 2. Reading from verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You have tasted the grace of God. The grace that brought salvation has appeared unto you. You embraced that. You accepted that. You turned away from your past. And you come into the new life in Christ. And say, this Jesus is my Savior. And he'll be my Savior forever. And you turn away from all the darkness of the past. And you turn to Jesus, the light of the world. He says, I'm standing at your door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice, you into a new creature, he opens the door, I will come in. And so he came in, he forgave your sin by grace. He gave you salvation by grace. He wrote your name in heaven by grace. He touched your life and transformed your life by grace. He turned you into a new creature in Christ, all by grace. If ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, then lay aside all malice. Underline the word all there. There are different kinds of malice. Malice, quiet. Malice, smiling. Malice, appearing innocent. Malice, appearing friendly. All forms of malice. Some people have malice, they are angry. Other people have malice and they shout. Other people have malice and they smile. Other people have malice and they do some things you'll not know they have malice. Whatever kind of malice, empty your heart of all malice. Lay aside all malice and all guile. Guile means deception. Guile means lying. And all forms of guile, all forms of deception, all forms of lying. The one will lie on paper, and the one will lie with the mouth, and the one will lie with action, and the one will lie by just sitting still and doing nothing, and yet with this deception. And hypocrisies, you see that in the plural, which means, again, there are many kinds of hypocritical actions. And it says, now you are a believer, lay aside everything that is hypocritical. And all envies, you see envy there in the plural, it says, they take different forms and different shapes. It says, lay them aside, and all evil speakings. You see that in the plural too. Speaking evil about the government, that's part of it. Speaking evil about the leadership in the country, that's part of it. Speaking evil about the leadership in the state, that's part of it. Speaking evil about the local government leaders, that's part of it. Speaking evil about the leadership in the church, that's part of it. And speaking evil about your neighbor, all kinds of evil speaking, lay aside. If we're going to make progress in the kingdom of God, there are things to lay aside. For the babes, there are things to lay aside. For the believers, there are things to lay aside. For preachers like me, like you, there are things to lay aside. If we're going to grow, everybody is to grow. It's not only the babe that is to grow. The believer is to grow. You must lay aside something. And also, the people who are children of God, and you've been there for a long time. As a believer, you lay something aside. In fact, every time you come to the presence of God, and he shows you his own demand. And he shows you in very clear terms, this is what he wants of his sons and his daughters. You compare that with your life. And then you know there's something to lay aside. And the preacher, the pastor, the shepherd, while you're leading the people of God, and people, if they have the boldness and the courage to talk to you and say, sir, we appreciate your ministry, but this is kind of decreasing your effectiveness in ministry. All the people, they don't have the boldness to come straight, and they use guile. Even though they use guile, they are passing a message across. They're asking a question at the time of the scripture. They make up a story, and they say this, and they say this, and they say that. And they're trying to get at us who are leaders. Even though they're not straightforward, they're passing a message across. And if we get the message, his own style, leave him in the hands of God. He has guile. He has deception. And he make believe story. But he's getting at something. God will deal with the liars. Leave that alone. But when that message comes to you, that you know that you in the leadership, you need to get this corrected and get that corrected, lay aside. You have something to lay aside. Everyone in the church, and as you come here today, the Lord is calling upon you. And the Lord is saying, if you are going to grow, I'm looking at people that are going to grow. I said, I'm looking at people that are going to grow. And look up at me here. Have you seen me? I will continue to grow. I said it for myself. I will continue to grow. And whatever I see, whatever I feel, whatever you do, whatever other people do, I remind myself that I, as a pastor, must grow. And therefore, there is something for me to lay aside. I will see it every time you talk, every time you ask question, and every time you tell a story, and every time you make a testimony, every time you say anything, I will know, okay, they are talking to me. I need to lay that aside, so that I will grow. You will grow. You will lay something aside, and you will grow in Jesus' name. I'm coming to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm reading here from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That's not talking to babes alone. It's talking to all believers. And here Paul the apostle, writing to the Hebrew Christians, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what he's telling us? He said, if you look back at all these clouds of witnesses, and you read chapter 11 from verse 1 all to verse 40, and you're wondering, there's some names I know in the Old Testament, and I thought they were believers, and I thought they were God's favored people. I can't find their names here. What happened to them? They didn't lay aside the weight that did easily beset them. They didn't lay aside the sin that so easily beset them. Are you looking for Balaam? You'll not find him in the hall of faith. Why? Balaam did not lay aside his covetousness. There was something for him to lay aside, and the Lord said, Balaam, don't go. Don't have anything to do with those people of Moab and Balak. And then those people came again. He had not laid that thing aside. And he said, God, can I go? He said, you want to go? You can go. He didn't lay that aside. You remember Saul? You don't find his name in the chapter that talks about the faith of those Old Testament worthies. You know why? He was impatient. He should have laid that aside. He didn't. And because the thing he should lay aside, he did not lay aside. He couldn't make it. You remember Esau? He was the son of Jacob. And Jacob, the firstborn of Isaac. He and Jacob had the privilege of the birthright. But there was something for him to lay aside. There must be endurance in the life of the believer. And when he was hungry, Esau laid that aside. But he couldn't. He didn't. And he said, give me of your pottage. And he said, and Jacob said, you'll do something in exchange for the pottage. You want to please the flesh? You want to satisfy the flesh? I'll make you do it, but sell me your birthright. He said, what will the birthright do to me? He didn't lay aside his tummy. And because of that, look at that. Have you remembered Absalom? You can't find his name in Hebrews chapter 11. He had something. He was running at something, and he was gunning at something. He wanted the place of David by all means. Even before David died, Absalom laid this aside, even though he had been disciplined. How? He killed his stepbrother, and then he ran away. He was in exile for a few years. Eventually, he did what he could do. He came back. Even after coming back from that exile, from that national discipline, he didn't lay that aside. That thing was still in the heart. That's why they couldn't make it to chapter 11, and they couldn't make it to heaven. It's not only for babes, it's for every one of us. If we're going to make it to this chapter of faith, unforgettable, and to the people, to be among the people that will live eternally with the Lord, there is something to lay aside. You remember what Jesus said when he said, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife, she saw the angels, and the angels held to her hand, and to the hands of Lot and two daughters of theirs, get out of this city, for the Lord is going to destroy the city. But there was something in the heart of Lot's wife. All the gold, all the silver, all the entertaining crowd, all the Sodomites, all those people that were there in the city of Sodom, she had an attachment with them, association with them. She should have laid that aside. No, she couldn't. And because she didn't lay that aside, she became a pillar of salt. There's one man that was notoriously bad, notoriously evil. And Elijah, the prophet of God, came to him. And when he saw Elijah, he said, have you found me, O my enemy? What's his name? Ahab. And then Elijah delivered the message of God to him. Once in his life, he became sober. He became penitent. And then he walked softly in the sight of the Lord. And God told Elijah, see Ahab, how he has now walked softly. I will not bring the evil that I threatened. I'll forgive him. I'll not bring it in his own time. If his sons follow after him, then I'll bring the evil in the time of the son. But you know, Ahab was only temporarily sober. He didn't lay aside what he had been doing. And the word of God says his wife was the one that always pushed him, always pushed him. He sold himself to doing evil because of his wife. Jezebel did not lay aside the evil in her hand, and Ahab did not permanently lay aside what the Lord was correcting. That's why they perished. Come to the New Testament, and you see one of the 12, his name is Judas. And Jesus warned him over and over of that covetousness. One of you will betray me. One of you will sell me into the hands of the Gentiles, of the soldiers. Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And Judas mustered up the courage. Is it I? And he said, yes, you have said it. You are. That thing you are doing, if you do it, it were better you were not born. It were better a millstone was hanged on your neck, and then you perish, because that is going to lead you to hellfire straight. But you know, Judas, he did not lay aside that sin that was a real problem. What the Lord is telling us is, you're a babe, you're a believer, you're a minister, you're a worker, you're a preacher, you're an overseer. Lay aside the sin that does so easily beset you. Demas was a companion of Paul the apostle. He heard enough to take him to heaven. He heard enough of the holiness without which we shall not see the Lord. But he did not take heed. Demas has loved this present world. He's gone to Thessalonica. We must lay all those sins aside. This day, if there's any sin delaying your journey, if there's any sin derailing you from your journey to heaven, you lay them aside in Jesus' name. Look at that chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Anything that slows you down, you lay aside. Anything that is going to cut short your journey and not allow you to get to heaven, you will lay aside. Anything that is taking your attention away from the Lord, and you were fully committed to the Lord before, but now it's decreasing your commitment, consecration, and total dedication to the Lord, today you will lay aside in Jesus' name. Come to chapter 2, verse 2 of 1 Peter. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You desire the milk, you take the milk, so you can be off the bottle of milk. That's how to grow. The baby that is born starts with milk and takes the milk and takes the milk. And when that baby grows up, he's able to drop the bottle of milk and then he's able to have meat. We're told in Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, reading from verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and had to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. They were not growing, those Hebrew Christians. For when, for the time, ye are to be teachers, ye have need that won't teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What he was telling them, what Peter was telling the people, the same thing the Apostle Paul was telling the Hebrew Christians. He said, you're not growing. You still have need of milk. You've been there now for how many years? And you're still taking milk. And any time we step up a little and we get to give the strong meat of the word, then I cannot hear that. I cannot understand that. But the Lord is saying we ought to grow from being a baby to being a real child of God as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former manners, but in all conversation, all manner of life, in all areas of your conduct, that you will be matured as a believer, and you'll be holy because I am holy. Not only that you understand self-denial, that you are able to live a life that stands, the winds may blow, and there may be some noise. You know, babies, they're easily jolted, easily surprised or distracted. And those who are children, infants, noise in the night. There's something under the bed. No, baby, there's nothing under the bed. And there's something over the window. No, baby, there's nothing over the windows. You see, when people are very young, physically and spiritually, in every wind, there's a tornado. In every storm, there's a demon. In every difficulty and challenge, there are enemies coming from the village. Grow up and understand. All those things that babies and children and infants are afraid of, when you grow up and you understand what it means to deny yourself, those things mean nothing. And then you concentrate on the race that is set before you. That's why he tells us there that we grow up. And when you grow up, you're able to take the strong meat of the word. First Corinthians, I'm looking at First Corinthians chapter 3. In First Corinthians chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Corinthian Christians were speaking in tongues. They were interested in this, interested in that. Meanwhile, a lot of corrupt things were taking place, as we find in chapter 5. Meanwhile, a lot of things were taking place, taking themselves to court as a result of grievances and whatever it is among them. We find that in chapter 6. Meanwhile, their marriages and families were not all right, as we find in chapter 7, where they kept on speaking in tongues. And meanwhile, in chapter 8, they were eating things sacrificed to idols. And meanwhile, they were still speaking in tongues. And then we come to chapter 10, the same thing, the story of the children of Israel who left Egypt and were going to Canaan, and they could not make it. They were repeating that same story. And meanwhile, in chapter 11, they were taking the Lord's Supper unworthily, and yet they were babes. That's what it means to grow up, that all those actions, all those activities, all the lifestyle that makes us look like babes, after we proclaim to be saved, proclaim to be sanctified, and we pretend to be speaking in tongues, repeating the same tongue all the time, and all these various things, corruptions, forms of corruption, are still in their church. It says, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto babe, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. They couldn't take the meat of the word of God, although they prided themselves as seed, they have grown as tall as to heaven. It says, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, that's the meat, neither yet now are ye able. I pray we'll be able. I will be able. We'll be able in Jesus' name. We'll grow up. We'll grow strong. And we'll grow nearer and nearer every time to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading here from verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, till we all come, that's growth, till we all come, there's a process of growing, and it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, there are some people, they cannot differentiate truth from error. They cannot differentiate sound doctrine from false doctrine. They've been coming to the church for 10, 20, 25, 30, 40 years. They're still babes. They are tossed to and fro. They hear somebody saying something from a verse of scripture, and a fellow goes off on a tangent, and they're shaking. and they don't know what to believe again. And it says the process of growth will make us so solid, will make us so sound, that whatever anybody says, you'll say, where you coming from? Look at this in the Word of God. Look at that in the Word of God. You'll be able to stand when you are growing. I pray you will stand. That henceforth will be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sledge of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. Tell me what follows. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And it talks about tasting that the Lord is gracious. Tasting that the Lord has had mercy on you, and you have learned, you have heard, you are partaking of the grace of God. Hebrews chapter 6. Reading from verse 5, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. You have tasted of the word of salvation and the power for salvation. You have tasted the word of sanctification and the power that produces that sanctification in your life. You have had conviction, and the conviction you have produces courage in your life. You have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Peculiar provision for sons and daughters, sons and saints, sons and servants in Christ. I come to point number two, the powerful picture of steadfast saints in Christ. See the picture that Peter the apostle is giving to us. I'm reading verse 4 and then verse 5. First Peter chapter 2. I read verse 4. It says, to whom coming, it's talking about Christ, as unto a living stone. That's Christ, a living stone. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. That's the picture he had of Christ. It's a living stone. But look at verse 5. Ye also, he has spoken about Christ as Savior, Christ our Lord. He has spoken about Christ, the lively stone, the living stone. He has spoken about Christ, the chosen, precious stone. Now it's going to talk about you. It's going to talk about me. It's going to talk about the believers. Verse 5, he also has lively stones. Think about that. He, Christ, living stone. And you, the believer, lively stone. Do you see the similarity there? He passes his life unto you. And because he passes his life unto you, you become lively. Because he is living, you become identified with him. He died for you, and then he rose again for your justification. And because he rose again, you now become alive in Christ. He is the living stone, and you are a lively stone. Let's follow the thread that Jesus Christ, the living stone. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. I'm reading from verse 16. You see how Christ is referred to. In verse 16, he says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That is, he lays him down as the only one that can bring us salvation and lead us to life eternal. And it says, you believe on him, a transformation will take place in your life, and you'll become a lively stone. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Acts, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Here he tells us, he says in verse 11, this is the stone, not another. The one that had been prophesied about in the Old Testament, this is the stone. The one that will set up a kingdom, and his kingdom will know no end. This is the stone. The one the Pharisees and Sadducees rejected, to their own doom, to their own damnation. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. This is the stone. Neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there justification in any other. Neither is there redemption in any other. Neither is there forgiveness in any other. To get to heaven, he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no salvation. There's no justification. There's no redemption. There's no forgiveness in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven in any country. Every country is under heaven. And there is no spiritual, religious figure that can replace Christ. There is no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When he said this is the stone, what was he referring to? It was referring to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Reading from verse 19, Psalm 118, reading from verse 19. In verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord unto which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become, tell me out aloud, my salvation. After mentioning salvation, look at verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Your salvation will be marvelous in the eyes of everybody. That's the stone. And even though the builders rejected, on the final day, they're going to find out if the final judge, if the king of the kingdom, Daniel chapter 2, in Daniel chapter 2, we're reading from verse 35. There was the iron and the clay. Let's go back to verse 34. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, the broken to pieces together, and became like chaff, the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. God Almighty revealed all the successive kingdoms of the world to Nebuchadnezzar. But then the Lord revealed to him that a stone came out of the mountain and was thrown at that image. And all the kingdoms collapsed. There was no place for them again. And that stone became a mountain that filled the whole earth. Look at the interpretation in verse 44, verse 45. And in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. I'll be part of that kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, all earthly kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall come to pass hereafter in the last days. The dream is certain, and interpretation is sure. Amen. He is the living stone, and he's going to have a kingdom. The kingdom that will abide forever and ever. But now we believers are lively stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. We believers are like him. We are identified with him. We live the way he would have been living if he were on earth right now. Because he is the living stone and we are lively stones. Verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. We're not a stone rolling about that gathers no moss. We're built into a spiritual house. We're not jumping from church to church. We're built into a spiritual house. We're not wandering about. This Sunday we're here, that Sunday we're there, that Sunday we're there. We are built into a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer us spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. God help you to be stable. God help you to be steadfast. And you know, sometimes people are like, why were you not in church today? You know, somebody, a friend of mine from the office, is having naming ceremony for his child in their church. I went there. Stone, stable, built up. What if one of the stones or one of the blocks in this building, you know, gets itself out and go for naming ceremony somewhere? Another stone comes out another Sunday and is gone for car washing somewhere. And another person comes out, is gone for wedding somewhere. Another one comes out and they're not regular. When we are brought in as believers, the Lord wants us to be solid believers, stable believers, steadfast believers, unmovable, that we know that I am there. I am there. You'll be there in Jesus' name. Somebody coming to church, having his Bible in his hand, and then on the side of the road while coming, there's a microphone blaring somewhere. And then he looks that direction, some people gather, and they're shouting, clapping hands, they're having something, maybe a crusade, and he says, let me go and see what they're doing there. That one is not stable. That one is not dependable. That one you cannot trust. It's not trustworthy. But the believers, whatever noise they're hearing, whatever is going on here or there, that's my place. That's my church. On Sunday, I must be there. That's what we're talking about. As lively stones that will become like real believers who are steadfast and stable, dependable. I will be dependable. I will be trustworthy. I will be stable. I will be steadfast. Let me hear you. I will be steadfast. Yours as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer all spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Your service will be acceptable. Your offering will be acceptable. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, looking at verse 9. For we are God's, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's building. When he brings you into the kingdom, when he brings you to Christ, and when he brings you to the church, he builds you with other believers in that local church. In verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're reading from verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Christ lives on the inside of the believer. And the Holy Ghost abides in the heart of the believer. And Jesus hears every conversation. Jesus knows every action. And Jesus knows everywhere you go. And the Holy Ghost knows everything to you. What you think, what you say, how you act, how? Because Jesus is resident in the heart of the believer. The Holy Ghost is resident in the heart of the believer. We are the temples of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God, which are God's. In 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verses 9 and 10, the practical priesthood of shining saints in Christ. The practical priesthood of shining saints in Christ. What peculiar provision and privilege. What a powerful picture of who we are, who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to live. And now we have the practical action of the holy royal priesthood as we belong to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Ye are. It says, in the past, we were not the righteous people of God. In the past, we were not the holy people of God. In the past, we were not the dependable people of God. In the past, we were not the people of God written in the book of life. But now, look at verse 10, which in the past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy in the past, but now have obtained mercy. Mercy for salvation. Now you have obtained mercy. Mercy for forgiveness. Mercy for cleansing. Mercy for a new and a renewed life. It says now you have mercy. And because of that, you are now a chosen generation. Chosen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that worries entangles himself with the affairs of this life. No man that lives, no man that goes into the office, goes into the marketplace, into places and communities in our land, and almost everyone is corrupt. And it says, no man that worries entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Chosen him to be a soldier. Chosen him. He has chosen us. And the reason for the choice is not to be a yes man. Yes man. Carry that sin. Yes man. Smoke this sin. Yes sir. And then take that. Yes madam. Go and call that person for me. Yes, I will. You're not a yes man. A soldier is the one to stand and to stand his ground and to say, no, I will not do that. And if you don't learn to say no in your office, when they call you to do something outside your area of operation, and it's fraud, it's corruption, it's evil, and you cannot say no, you don't understand, you are chosen to be a soldier. And you have to have backbone, and you have to have strength, and you have to live an uncompromising life. If you are chosen, and you know you are chosen, no man that worries, no woman that worries entangleth herself with the affairs of this life, that she may please him, the Lord, who has chosen him to be a soldier. Not only that, it says, we're a royal priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. You're kingly. And then you're only a priest, also a priest of the Lord. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I'm reading from verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and priests of Christ, and shall reign royal, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. If you know you are royal, if you know you are a priest of the Lord, it says you are blessed and you are holy. You are blessed because you are holy. You are saved. Part because you are holy. You partake in this privilege of being a priest peculiarly unto the Lord. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a holy nation. We're looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 74. Luke chapter 1, verse 74 and verse 75. The Lord has the strength to make us holy. He has the power to make us holy. He has the provision to make you holy. You'll be holy in Jesus' name. How is it and what happens to somebody hearing about holiness and holiness and holiness, and he prays and he seeks the Lord, And he cries, Lord, I want to be holy. And he really meant it. He wanted to be holy. And then after the prayer, he goes out of church. He goes back to his family. Or she goes back to her family. She goes back to her place of work. Or he goes to his shop, mechanic shop. Or he goes to his office. He has prayed about holiness in the church. What happens now? As he gets to society, and that is the place to manifest that stage and that experience of holiness. But now he cannot be holy. Why? Fear. He's afraid. What will they say? What will they do? How will they act? What pressure are they going to put on me? He's afraid. And every prayer you pray, if that fear is there, the prayer will be neutralized. It will mean nothing. You pray for salvation and you claim to be saved, and then you get back home to your husband, to your wife, to live the life, fear will not allow you. If that fear is not canceled, you cannot live the life of holiness. But thank God, I will be holy. If you are going to be holy, say it well. You know, the first step as you go out is to understand Christ lives on the inside of me. And Christ has commanded me, this is the way to go. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside of me, and the Holy Ghost is directing me, this is the way to go. And I love Christ more than I love them. I fear Christ more than I fear them. I'm going to obey Christ more than I'm going to obey them. If you don't put Christ as number one, the Holy Ghost as number one, if you put all those people as number one, whoever they are, fear will not allow you to be holy. But thank God, from today you will be holy. Luke chapter 1, verse 74, verse 75, that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, tell me, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him, how long? All the days of our life. And it's made us peculiar people. Peculiar people. How does that happen? Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Looking for that blessed hope. You know, people become peculiar because they're always watching. Christ might come today. I want to be ready. I don't want to be found doing anything, saying anything, acting out anything that Christ will not want to see when he comes. The people who are rapture ready, the people who are ready for heaven at any time, every time, they are conscious of heaven wherever they are. Money? No, they are conscious of heaven more. Title? They are conscious of heaven more. Position, they are conscious of heaven more. Even happiness on earth, they are conscious of heaven more. They are always looking, and it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from, tell me, all iniquity and purify. This is something that he does. It's not what you do by yourself. He does it. He redeems us from all iniquity. And when Jesus redeems, he does it well. Anything he does it. You can see the evidence. And then to purify. He is the one that purifies us. And when Christ purifies, you can see this is what he has done. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Having done that, he's done that in your life, he's done that in your heart. You now go out and then you have something to show for what Christ has done. You show forth his praises. You shine forth his glory. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. In the midst of a corrupt nation, crooked nation, perverse nation, in whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, some people, most churchgoers in our land, and some people who come to our church here, Deeper Life, they come on Sunday, and when they go to work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they are part of the crookedness in the world. They're part of the corruption in the world. That's not why we're saved. He saved us to be different. He saved us to be peculiar. He saved us to distinguish ourselves from the people of the world. That no matter their authority and no matter their stature, no matter their compelling posture, we stand our ground and we're living for Christ in this perverse and corrupt and crooked nation. Among whom we shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We are called out of darkness. I said, we're called out of darkness. Say it for yourself. I'm called out of darkness. Say it again. Live like that every time. Live like that every time. Your work, your office. Make sure that you're living in such a way people can tell you're called out of darkness. Acts chapter 26. Verse 18, Acts chapter 26. I'm reading from verse 18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. If you're a real child of God, you're not coming under the power of Satan, under the authority of Satan, into occultism, because you're looking for money, into secret society because you are looking for something else. It says the power of Satan is broken away from your life. That she may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me. Out of darkness into the light. I'll walk in the light. I'll live in the light. I'll do everything I do in the light. No more darkness. Somebody there, no more darkness. In Jesus' name, in your life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, if we testify, if we confess, if we profess that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Let me read it for your understanding. If we say we're born again and we're Deeper Light members and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we're ministers, we're members of a Bible-believing church, and we have fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with believers, and still walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, believer, if you walk in the light, no secret act, no work behind the curtain, nothing like, they must not know this, please, I go to Deeper Life, don't mention it when you see any Deeper Life member, please, I have a great position in our church, Deeper Life, don't allow them to hear this one, that makes you a hypocrite. You're living a life that's in darkness. I pray God will deliver everyone like that in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, whatever I tell you and whatever you do, get ready to broadcast it over the housetops. And whatever you do, let it be something that will be known. If you're doing something, you know, that you think that someone, anyone in particular must not know this, must not see this, you are not living to the privilege of a real child of God. You are living in secrecy. You are living in darkness. Or maybe you are living in pride that makes you to do that, and yet you don't want it known. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You know, there are people that think we should be in fellowship with everyone. They say, Pastor, why don't you fellowship with this? I can't tell you, but I need to walk in the light. If he wants to walk in the light, let him come along. We'll have fellowship together. Pastor, why don't you relate with this? I can't tell you that. But you know, I need to walk in the light. And if he is walking in darkness, if she is walking in darkness, I will not change and compromise with him in darkness and fall down and go low and go and walk in the dungeon of his darkness. He will come out of darkness if he cherishes my fellowship. If he cherishes your fellowship, he will come out of darkness, and then he'll be ready to walk in the light, and we'll walk in the light together in Jesus' name. Look at verse 7. If we walk in the light, make it personal, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, then you and I have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from some of our sins, from all sin. It will happen. It has happened already. We'll live in righteousness. Or live in holiness. We'll walk in the light and walk in the freedom of the children of God in Jesus' name. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings, as newborn babes, as renewed believers, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones are built up, the Lord will build you up, will build us up, into a spiritual house and an holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth, shine forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the church said, amen. Amen. We're going out today to live in newness of life. You're going home. You're going to your work tomorrow. You're going to your market tomorrow. You're going to your offices tomorrow. You're going to your community. Anywhere you go now, you're going to live a different life, a peculiar life, a shining life, a life that shines forth the light and the glory of God. And people will see you, that Christ lives in you, the Holy Ghost abides in you, and the light of truth, the light of the Word of God is shining forth and beaming forth through your life. It will shine farther and farther unto the glorious day in Jesus' name. Let's rise up and take that to the Lord in prayer. Not praying as usual, but praying in an uncommon way, that, Lord, I want all this to be reflected in my life. I don't just want to be somebody coming to church and reading the Bible and hearing messages and knowing all these things, and yet it's not shining forth and making evident transformation through my life. It will make an impact in your life. Open your mouth and pray unto the Lord.
It is time to live a different life. It is time to live a shining life. The moment has come. In some few minutes' time, we will leave the church. We're going back to our communities. We're going to meet the people that are living in sin. Tomorrow, we are going to work. We're going to our places of business. It is time to live a shining life. It is time to live a different life. Open your mouth, brothers and sisters, right now, and begin to commit yourself into the hands of God. The grace that you need, ask the Lord to give you the grace. The grace you need, ask the Lord right now to give you the grace. It is no time to run out. We have listened to the word. If we can't pray in the word will be of no effect in our life. Settle down, let's pray. Settle down, let's take in this word into our life. Now open your mouth and begin to ask God for grace. I need grace. I want to live a shining life. I want to live a different life. From this moment, as I go out, I meet the sinners outside. I meet the unbelievers outside. I meet the people that have easily turned me back to the way of the world. Lord, it is time for victory in my spiritual life. You are going out to overcome the thing that overcame you before. You are going out to live above sin. You are going out to live above compromise. Ask for grace right now. Ask for grace right now. It is time to pray. It is time to pray. Open your mouth. Cry out unto the Lord. Cry out unto the Lord. Cry out unto the Lord. He is by your side. He's listening to every word of prayer you are offering unto him. Offer prayer unto him. The Lord is listening. Grace. For how long will the devil continue to cheat your life? For how long will the devil continue to tie you in darkness, in the works of the flesh? It is time to overcome. It is time to overcome. It is time to overcome. This is the moment of victory. Brothers and sisters, seek the face of God. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. What do you need to lay aside? Ministers of the gospel, let's examine ourselves. What do we need to lay aside? What do we need to lay aside? Of worldliness, what do we need to lay aside? Examine yourself. Attachment to the things of the world, of covetousness. What do we need to lay aside? Examine yourself right now. And the Lord said, laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Talk to the Lord about that thing. That thing that makes you feel condemned in your heart. Guilty conscience. Oh God, I have done it again. Oh God, I have done it again. Deal with that thing right now. Tell the Lord, I lay that thing aside. That monster that is dragging me to the mud, I lay that thing aside. That type of life that is keeping me in sin, I lay that thing aside. My sister, are you praying? My brother, are you praying? It is time to live a different life. It is time to live a shining life. The moment of victory in spiritual life has come. Lay aside. Lay aside. It could be a friend. It could be people you meet. Tell the Lord, this time around, courage is coming into my spirit. Courage is coming into my heart. I am going to lay those friends aside that tie me back to sin, that drag me back to Egypt. The time has come. Lord, I am laying them aside. Make a commitment right now in the presence of God. Before you leave this auditorium, make a commitment. Make a commitment. And the Holy Spirit will back up your commitment. Commit yourself into the hands of God. It is time to live a different life. It is time to live a shining life. It is time to bring forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Commit yourself into the hands of God. Pray for yourself, my brothers and sisters. Don't live here without settling it with Him. Outside there are distractions. There are distractions. Out over there, lift up your voice to the Lord. It is time to stop being a spiritual babe. Lift your life unto God. Lord, remove me from the position of being a spiritual baby. Take me out of the position of being a spiritual baby, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. For how long have you been in this church? For how long have you been hearing the word of God? What impact has it made? Are you still a babe? Are you still loving the milk of the word? And you cannot chew the meat of the word of God. Tell the Lord right now. Brothers, sisters, open your mouth. Let's tell the Lord. Remove me from the position of being a spiritual baby. Reject it right now. Lord, no more a spiritual baby. I am not going to be a spiritual baby anymore. I am going forward. I am growing unto maturity. Lord, remove me. Tear off the garment of babies from your life and put on the garment of maturity. Spiritual, mature spiritual garments. Open your mouth and pray, my brothers and sisters. This garment of being a spiritual baby after 5 years, after 10 years, after 15 years, I tear it off. Tear that garment off right now. Tear that garment off right now. Lord, I tear it off. The garment of a spiritual baby. The garment of, if they don't encourage me, I will not come to church. If they don't encourage me, I will not read my Bible. I cannot do my quiet time. I cannot pray. I cannot seek the face of God. If that former sin partner come, I will easily fall. Tear off that garment right now. It's not your portion. It's not our portion. Tear it off. Oh Lord, this garment, spiritual babyish garment. It rains today. I can't come to combined service. I can't come to the church because it rained. Tear it off right now. Oh Lord, all those spiritual garments of being a baby, I tear them off. Tear them off from your life. And tell the Lord, I am putting on a mature spiritual garment. A mature spiritual garment. A mature spiritual garment. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Tell the Lord, stir up a hunger inside me. A hunger for the truth. A hunger for the word. A thirst for the word. A thirst for the truth. Lord, stir it up in me. All those attitudes that I am not interested in personal praying. I am not interested in reading Bible personally for myself. All those attitudes, I throw them away right now. I threw away with the attitude right now. Oh Lord, stir me up in my spirit. Put up a desire in me. Stir up a desire in me. Stir up a hunger in me. Stir up a thirst in me. I want to pray. And I want to desire the sincere milk of your word. I want to be given to spiritual things. Tell the Lord, quicken me right now, oh God. Quicken me to be able to know what is right and what is wrong. Take me higher to maturity. Let me step forward. Let me go forward. Lord, quicken my spiritual life. Is somebody praying there? Is somebody calling upon God? Is somebody seeking the face of God? Oh Lord, help me to be able to discern between the truth and between truth and error. I don't want to fall into error. I want to stand on the ground of truth. Therefore, Lord, polish up my discernment. polish up my discernment. Don't allow Satan to cheat you. We have had the word. It is time to soak in the word through prayer. It is time to inject the word through prayer. It is time to drink in, take in that word. Establish that word in our heart. It is prayer. It is prayer. Oh Lord, wake up my discernment. Wake up my discernment. Wake up my discernment. Christ, the living stone. He has passed unto us his life. We are the lively stone. He is the living stone. We are the lively stone. We are built up into a spiritual house. Ask the Lord right now. I'm going to be steadfast in this church. I'm going to be steadfast in this church. Jesus is the living stone. I am the lively stone. Lord, from today, I wake up spiritually. I wake up spiritually. I wake up spiritually. I am a lively stone. A lively stone is not a dead stone. A lively stone is not a dragging stone. A lively stone is not just a stone rolling about from church to church. Lord, from today, I wake up. Brothers and sisters, tell the Lord, wake me up. I'm a lively stone. I'm a lively stone. I'm a lively stone. Wake me up. The life of Jesus is in me. The life of Jesus is in me. He, the living stone, and I, the lively stone, I'm waking up. I'm waking up. No more spiritual slumbering. I'm waking up. No more spiritual lethargy. I'm waking up. No more lukewarmness of the spiritual life. I'm waking up. Steadfastness in the church of Jesus. Stable in the word of God, in the things of God. Unmovable in the scriptures of truth. Lord, I am waking up. I am waking up. The life of Jesus is in me. The life of Jesus is in me. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's building. And God knows everything you do. God knows everything you do. Everywhere you go, God sees you. The secret things we do, God sees us. We're going to pray therefore this moment. Anything that will define me as the temple of God, oh Lord, take it away. Open your mouth and begin to pray for yourself. Anything that will define me spiritually, Father, take away from me. Take away from my life. From today, it is time to live a different life. It is time to live a shining life. From today, all the defiling things, be far from me. Be far from me. Be far from me. You are a spiritual soldier for Christ. A spiritual soldier for Christ. Ask for courage not to compromise. Spiritual soldiers, open your mouth and pray like a soldier. Sister, open your mouth and pray like a soldier. Brother, open that mouth and pray like a soldier. You are a spiritual soldier. Ask the Lord right now, give me courage never to compromise. From today, as I step out of this auditorium, as I step out of this auditorium, no compromise. No compromise with wrong. No compromise with error. No compromise with sin. Because I'm a spiritual soldier for Christ. And I'm not going to entangle myself with the affairs of this life. With the affairs of this world. Boldness to say no to Satan's temptation. Ask the Lord right now. Lord, give me the boldness to say no to the temptation coming from Satan. No to all the offers that Satan is offering unto me. Temptations will come. Satan will bring offer. Tell the Lord, give me boldness to say no. When that madam comes again, go and do this for me. I'm sorry, ma. I'm a child of God. I'm a lively stone. I'm built up a spiritual house in the Almighty God. I am the temple of God. God is indwelling in me. When that person comes again, that you have always been afraid of, tell the Lord right now, no fear in my life anymore. No fear in my life anymore. Brothers and sisters, open your mouth. Rebuke that spirit of fear. That spirit of fear that makes you to be afraid. And you cannot stand. You cannot stand uncompromising. You cannot stand with conviction. You cannot stand with courage. You cannot stand with boldness. Rebuke that spirit right now. He has not given us the spirit of fear. That we will serve the Lord without fear. Without fear. Without fear. Every spirit of fear. Cancel fear from your life. Fear of man. Fear of Satan, fear of temptation, fear of tomorrow, fear of the world, fear of persecution. Cancel it right now from your life. Cancel it right now from your life. Cancel it right now from your heart. Holiness characterizes the royal priesthood. Grace to be holy every day. Grace to be holy every day. Receive right now. Ask the Lord, my brethren, pray. Pray, my brethren. Lord, holiness characterizes the priesthood. And I am a member of the priesthood. You are a member of the priesthood. Lord, everyday holiness of life. Everyday righteousness, righteous life. Give me the power to live holy. Give me the power to live righteously. Every day of my life, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. The Bible said, holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. Tell the Lord, from today, no going back. Open your mouth and tell the Lord, from today, I'm not going back again. I am not going back again. From today, from this morning, no going back. From this day, tell the Lord, no backsliding. No backsliding. No backsliding. No going back. No backsliding. No lukewarmness. No more living in darkness. No more living in darkness. No more walking in darkness. I will walk in the light. 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 Brothers and sisters, tell the Lord, finally, from this auditorium, as I step out, I will live a different life. As I step out, I will live a shining life. I will live in the light. I will walk in the light. I will fellowship with a community of believers. And I will walk, I will live together with other brethren in light. There will be righteousness. There will be holiness at the place of work. Brothers and sisters, as you leave the church today, the things that conquered you before, go and conquer those things now. Go and conquer them. The grace of God is going home with us. The power of God is sufficient in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Members of the royal priesthood, in the name of Jesus, Amen. You will stand. Amen. You will live a different life. Amen. You will live a shining life. Amen. From today, no compromise in your life. Amen. No backsliding in your life. Amen. No more walking in darkness again. Amen. The garment of spiritual baby will tear that garment this morning. The garment of spiritual maturity, we put on that garment right now. From today, you will rise above your temptation. You will overcome your temptation. And you will live for the Lord to the end in the name of Jesus. Almighty God, we have heard your word. We have received the truth. And Lord, we pray in every word we have heard this morning into our life. From today, victory in our spiritual life. Victory in our ministerial life. So let it be in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we have come into the kingdom, we have come into the priesthood. And the priesthood is a holy priesthood. From this day, righteousness in our life. Holiness in our life. Every spirit of fear, fear of man, fear of the world, cancelled in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are the living stone, and you have made us the lively stone. From today, our prayer life will be lively. Our Bible reading life will be lively. Our spiritual life will be lively. So let it be in the name of Jesus. As we step out of the church this morning, we are going to overcome the devil. We are going to overcome sin. We are going to overcome compromise. We are going to overcome worldliness. It is so in the name of Jesus. These words, write them upon the tables of our hearts. Write them upon the tables of our hearts. That from today, give us grace to stand. Give us grace to walk in the light. And never more walk in the darkness in the name of Jesus. Strengthen our Father in the Lord. Uphold our Father in the Lord. As he feeds us with the word, like father, like children. We will have your spirit upon us in the name of Jesus. As we go home, cover us with the blood of Jesus. And Lord, when the devil comes with his evil voice, we will remind the devil, we are soldiers of Christ. And we are not going to compromise in the name of Jesus. Keep us till the end. All the weight we have laid aside, they will never come into our lives again. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.